Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
After the 12 o'clock hour, good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios, and I like to start shows off like this. Joining me now, excellent guest to start things off here on our First Advantage Hotline, CSU head coach Jay Norvell. Coach, thank you so much for giving us some time. You are a busy guy, so I really appreciate any time we can get with you, my friend.
No, May's a really busy month in college football. We're recruiting, we're engaging with fans and former players and boosters, and but it's a great month. Get a chance to see a lot of people.
Yeah, no question. You have been everywhere. I got a chance to shake your hand and chat with you a bit last week here in Greeley as a part of your Rams roadshow. You guys were everywhere. Greeley, Sterling, Denver. How important is that to you, Coach? I mean, ever since you started at CSU, you've just flat out hit the ground running, but making the rounds, getting out, talking to people. And man, I'm seeing you. You are interacting with these fans. You're having a blast with these folks. How important is that to you?
Oh, it's so important. You know, I grew up in a college town, and I really have a feeling for how important the university, the athletic teams are to the community and the state. And so I just think it's so important to go out and visit fans where they are. Go out and visit your boosters, your alumni, where they are, and really understand them. And it's been a great learning experience for me, understanding the passion and the love that people have for CSU football.
Well, and again, some of those places, you go from Denver, Greeley, and then Sterling. I'm from the eastern Colorado part of the state, too. So a lot of different spots there, Coach. I mean, is there any part of it where it's like, wow, Denver's completely different than Sterling? I mean, there's some very unique places out there.
There's no doubt. Yeah, you know, we're an ag school, and those people are so important to the fabric of what this university has meant over the years. And so that was great for me to get out and see those places and meet the people that really care so much. And it really kind of gives you the character of our school and the qualities of the people here. And so we're just so proud to represent that. And it just gives me a better understanding what we're fighting for every Saturday when we represent CSU.
We're talking to CSU head coach Jay Norvell. Coach, man, spring ball was so much fun. I think I told you at Weldworks, I never had so much fun watching practice before. You guys were throwing the ball all over the place. It was absolutely a blast. You made it so open to media members. Fans got a chance to check it out, too. I loved that it was bright and early. It was fantastic. Yep. I've never had so much. I'm telling you this. I'm not just sucking up to you, Coach. I've never had so much fun at practice.
Well, you know, practice is everything to us, and everything's built on giving the players experiences that they'll have on game day. And so we're very serious and very specific about what we do. But, you know, I come from the school that football's a game. It's supposed to be fun, and we try to have fun in practice. We compete. It's very game-like, and I think that's reflected even in our spring game, you know. I think people have had a chance to see a lot of people put their spring games on, and I just have always believed that it should be as game-like as possible because it's another experience that your players get that they can build on and use for when we play in the fall. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know, I think you saw our kids having fun,
Yeah. And
they were competing, and that's what makes it great. That's how you get better.
Coach, I got to ask, how do you, this is an important question, so I hope you're ready. How do you guys choose the music? Because there's some days I pull in and I'm ready. I'm rocking it. We got AC/DC rolling. We got Metallica. And then there's some days it's like Tim McGraw. And then other days there's like rap music. So you guys are covering the gamut when it comes to music.
No, we try to mix it up. We try to keep the lyrics clean. But, you know, the music is really valuable in practice. It keeps the energy going. You know, sometimes I got some of my favorite songs are country western, and then I go R&B and rap and hip-hop. But we try to keep the energy going. You know, and then we found out a long time ago, you know, when there's music, you know, you don't hear the coaches yell as much when they're disappointed. And everybody kind of gets all those emotions out, but it really, they don't bite as much when you get criticized. So it's a part of the atmosphere. You know, I know we start early, so sometimes that music gets going early in the morning and we get the neighborhood woke up, but we love it. We love it. And the players like it. And that's important.
Hey, I look at it like this. Hey, CSU football is here, ready to go. Let's get after it early. I was like, right now, I'm joking. When I say I was ready to go work out with you guys, I'm of course joking. But when I step out of the car there for a minute, I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good.
No doubt. No, there's an energy. You want that energy from practice. You want it from the players and the coaches, and you know, and everybody knows that it's those couple hours we're on the field so important. That we bring our focus and our energy, and we're out there competing to get better.
Well, we're getting some listener comments coming in. Just some of the questions I had anyway. I usually let the listeners ask. They ask better questions than I do anyway. But, Coach, just looking at the spring ball, everything, after reflecting, we got this one from the RAMU, after reflecting on spring practices, how does this current team compare to teams that you've coached in the past?
Well, I'm excited. You know, it's a very different team. I want to just let all the Ram fans know. I mean, I think we have three returning starters on our whole team.
Wow.
And so basically it's a brand new offense, all new offensive players. And defensively, I think we have three kids that were starters at some point last year that are returning. But they're all new players, all – you know, the good thing is that some of these players were starters at other universities. I think we have four offensive linemen that we brought in that were starters at other schools. We got two receivers that were starters at other schools. We got a couple defensive players, defensive end, corners that was starters at other Power 5 schools. So these kids are not completely inexperienced, but they're new for CSU. And so it's our job to get these guys to gel together, to play as a team. And, you know, as I told our kids, we're not even halfway around the track yet. We have 8 weeks of summer training. We have another month of training camp before we play games. And that's going to be a critical time for us to gel and get used to playing with one another.
We're talking to CSU head coach Jay Norvell. And Coach, what your assessment after the spring situation? I mean, I always wonder how coaches view it, because somebody's got to win, right? The offense, the defense.
Right.
So on one side, you're thrilled. On the other side, you're thinking we got work to do. How did you kind of give us your assessment overall of the two sides? Of course, special teams too.
Well, we took 14 practices and we went good against good. And we have an old saying that iron sharpens iron. And we had days where the offense kind of had the upper hand. And then we had days where the defense kind of had the upper hand. And that's probably the way it should be and the way it usually is in good programs. And then I'm just a believer, the spring game, I don't believe you should split up your units. I learned this from Hayden Fry that, you know, you spend all 14 practices trying to build your first unit offense, your first unit defense. We wanted to keep those units together on the spring game, because you go out and play in front of people and you want to perform. So we kept the ones, first unit with the ones and twos together for the spring game. And then we do it a little differently than most people. It's ones against the world. And I spot the twos, three touchdowns, 21 points. And and then the ones start the game behind, and then they have to be productive through the whole game. And it was a pretty typical spring game. You know, it was nip and tuck. But the ones finally started, you know, getting some traction. And we ended up winning. I think the ones ended up winning by about two touchdowns. But it was a good day's work. Everybody left with a good taste in their mouths. And we built momentum going into the summer with good feeling. And so I was really pleased with the spring game and with spring practice as a whole. I think we got a great foundation to build on for the fall.
Yeah, and you mentioned, too, the busy month as far as not just getting out and about, but the recruiting side of things, too. I was going to ask you, what month isn't busy for a head football coach? I mean, you are all over the place. Can you talk to us a little bit about your summary of the recruiting situation thus far?
Well, I was really pleased with our ability to recruit in December. We were able to get some really quality transfer kids. You know, we got almost a dozen kids from Nevada that understand our system. That was really important for us. We got a defensive end for Rutgers who was a starter, a corner from Cal that was a starter. We've got an offensive guard from Tulsa that was an all-league player, and a tackle from Florida International that was a starter. Those guys were key additions to our roster. And we also got some great high school players, four really good receivers that we think are as good as we've ever recruited.
Wow.
We brought in, you know, the quarterbacks are totally new, two really great high school kids, and then our transfer from Nevada that had been working with us that understands our system. So we really made some key additions in recruiting, and I'm really pleased with that. We also have brought in a couple of transfer kids here in the spring that will give us depth in the secondary. And now we're recruiting for the 23 class, so we're really digging our doing a deep dive on learning about all these great high school players. Juniors that will be seniors in the fall. And this class will allow us to really load up and go back to back and really flip this roster. I was talking to our recruiting guy. I think we have 70 new players on our roster.
Wow.
Which is just incredible in 1 year how we can make those kind of changes. But it's going to pay dividends, and it's we really are just building the foundation for building this CSU football program.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to watch your activity, too, and anytime a recruit comes in, just the buzz around these kids coming to the program. So I know fans really appreciate that, too, how open you guys were with everything in this process. We're talking to CSU head coach Jay Norvell. Coach, I won't keep you much longer, but you no doubt heard the battle going on between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher today.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff, and I wanted to get your take on this. Nick Saban basically saying Texas A&M is essentially paid everybody in NIL deals to go there. Jimbo Fisher fires back about everything. Where are you with, I know different territories and such, but where are you on the whole NIL stuff? Because it's certainly, in a good and bad way, I suppose, it does seem like the wild, wild west out there.
It is. It's a very unique time in coaching. You know, I've been doing this for three decades, and you know, I got into coaching to help develop kids, to help prepare them for the rest of their lives. And, you know, I don't like a lot of things that are going on right now. You know, kids have the whole rest of their lives to make money after they leave college. I think what they do in college should prepare them for the rest of their lives. And so those are the things that we want to do here at CSU. You know, there's a lot of money in college athletics, let's face it. And especially at the highest level, when you talk about the Alabamas and the A&Ms and the USCs, these programs have a lot of money, and that money's getting directed in some of the wrong places, in my opinion, right now. You know, the NIL and the transfer portal, the NIL was not designed to entice players to come to schools. And that's what's happened. And it's being misused at some places. And it's really unfortunate, I think, because in the long run, I don't think this is going to help kids. And so we've got some work to do in college football to correct that. It is a little bit of the Wild West right now, and there's a lack of accountability. We need to get our arms around it and really talk openly about where some of this money's going, and then shed a light on the people that are not using it properly. And until the NCAA can do that, I think we're going to have problems.
And I think that's a great point, not using it properly, because, you know, when I first heard the idea, and again, we've been talking about this for years, you think, okay, what harm could it be for a player to make some money off of an autograph, things like that. And I know some people have different opinions, but as you just said, this is now is becoming, and it's not supposed to, but it's becoming this almost recruiting tool, not from the recruiters necessarily, but different boosters chiming in. It seems very difficult to regulate. Do you think that there could be a balance struck at some point, or do you see this almost getting a little bit more out of hand before it slowly starts to get any better?
Yeah, I think something that might be interesting for CSU people, fans, to understand is that what we're seeing right now is that there's no value to the scholarship. Power Five schools are basically enticing players to come for $200,000-$300,000 above their scholarship, so they don't even need a scholarship. And many of these players are really good players that CSU would have been able to get in the past. We can't even touch them right now. We can't touch some of the players that we were able to get in December because the NLI money has changed that much. We're seeing average players, average Power Five players, go to other schools for, you know, $200,000-$300,000 of NIL money, and some of these programs are just collecting players, and many of those players would come to a group of five school like a CSU and be really good players in our league, and so, you know, that's gonna even out at some point, but right now it is crazy, and so there's got to be some regulation. I mean, even the NFL has a salary cap. And right now in college football, there is no salary cap, if you can imagine that. And so schools that have, you know, a lot of finances are using that to acquire players right now. And so it's not good. It's not good for the sport. And I don't think it's going to be good for the kids in the long run. And maybe in the short term, they might get a little money. But I don't think it's good for them academically in the long run or for their development in the long run.
Yeah, no doubt going to be some interesting discussions coming up as we see things continue to change in the world of the NCAA. Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I appreciate you going there with me for a moment. I'm very excited about this program. I don't know that I've been more excited, to be honest with you, about this football program. And that's, you know, that's a great mixture between you and your staff and your players and all that you guys continue to do. So I know I speak for Rams fans out there. We just appreciate you. I appreciate the start and the openness so far about this program.
Thank you so much. We're excited. We're working hard to build this program. And, you know, we want a team that everybody can be proud of and get excited to come out and watch us play.
Yeah, I can't wait for that day. Coach, thanks again, and hopefully we can catch up real soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, there you go. CSU head coach Jay Norvell talking a little bit about the NIL stuff. And I think where Coach is going there, too, is like, NIL, I don't even know if he said it could be good, but you can't be using it to recruit. And I've never once been about that. Fantastic work from Coach, though. They were in Greeley, Sterling, Denver, the Rams Roadshow, out and about. Loves what he saw with the spring game and spring ball. It was a lot of fun, man. It was great. Seriously. Like, practice is practice. There's moments where you're kind of like, oh, that's cool, but going and just seeing a quarterback throw the ball deep to wide receivers, I mean, that's what we want to see. And seeing it in practice is fun. Seeing the ball with some air underneath it. And I'm pretty excited about this quarterback situation, too, with Clay Millen. That's going to be a fun time. These wide receivers, stacked team. I definitely have them going to a bowl game. So take that for what it's worth. I think they're going to at least win six games. How about this one? And I'll talk to Kevin Lytle. We're going to keep on the CSU boat here. Kevin Lytle will join me at 12:30. The NCAA Division I Council announced yesterday that it will relax restrictions on college football's conference championship games, allowing conferences to determine the teams that would participate in their respective title game. That decision paves the way for conferences to avoid having title game matchups determined by division winners, as well as possibly eliminating divisions altogether. So we would get rid of championship week, like that would be done. You just take the top two teams? I think so. 12:25, the time, that's what the Pac-12's doing. They have announced that starting this year, this season, the conference's title game, well, they would do the conference title game, so there still would be that, would feature the teams with the top, with the two highest winning percentages. 25 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Game two, Avs, Blues. Can Bennington continue to do what he did? I don't think so, man. I think it's going to be an absolute blowout. I'm not a jinx. Don't call me that. I don't have that much power. It's going to be a blowout. We'll be right back.
.103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Kristen McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Man, I love talking to Jay Norvell. That's a great guy right there. I got a chance to meet him last week. Excellent, man. We're going to talk to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and next. But we, dude, this is just juicy, and I love it. Nick Saban going after Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. And then you got Lane Kiffin getting in on this. Dude, this is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. And, I mean, Fisher doubled down, didn't he? I got clips. We're going to play back. Nick Saban. Listen, I've got so many thoughts on Saban and Fisher and all of them. It's just hard. You know, Saban is definitely like, oh, this NIL stuff is terrible. And listen, again, pre-signing is a big deal. Like, if you're out there recruiting and then you do have NIL stuff on the table, you can't do it. But it's happening, unfortunately. It's not that it wasn't happening before. Ask Reggie Bush. It was happening. It's been happening for years. It's just now the line is blurred because NIL is legal. But you're not supposed to use it to entice kids to go to a certain school. Once they're there, great. Do some deals. But what's going to stop car dealership from going up to Billy and saying, Billy, I hear you're entering the transfer portal.
Well, if you make the right decision and go up north, call me. Okay, see you later.
That's not illegal, is it? Call me? This is happening all over the place. I don't know how, again, 20 years ago, we could have got control of this thing. The NCAA could have got control of this thing. But instead, you were greedy, didn't want to give Johnny Manziel $15 for an autograph. You fought tooth and nail every aspect of it instead of bending a little bit. And look what happened. You couldn't pay I always call him Orlando Bloom, Jeremy Bloom. You couldn't let him make money in the Olympics. And now it's biting you in the, you know what, 33 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle coming up. Should we be worried about David Roddy? And when I say worried, don't confuse that with unhappy. David Roddy is a friend of mine. We did the David Roddy show for a year. It was so much fun. I want what's best for him. If he can go get drafted in the first round, and I got a pick between drafted in the first round to coming back to CSU, I'm sorry, guys. Not many chances to get, I mean, only 30 players get drafted in the first round every single year. If David could be one of those guys, you go for it. 34 minutes after the hour, where is he on that list? Also, the NCAA changes. Could we see the Mountain West division split up here in the conference soon? We'll talk to Kevin about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
After 12 o'clock. Welcome back to The whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, our CSU Rams insider. We're going Rams heavy today. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, my man, I got a lot to get into with you, but this is very entertaining stuff between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Lane Kiffin's getting involved. Oh my goodness. This is, I've got my popcorn here. This is fantastic.
Yeah, what a show. I guess, you know, it's the slow time of year, so what else to do and start sniping at each other?
It's a crazy thing, man. I've been saying this on the show a lot, Kevin. 20 years ago, I feel like if the NCAA would have got their arms around the NIL stuff, maybe they could have this thing better regulated where we don't, it's not like the Wild Wild West. Maybe it's even taken in-house, so you can only have deals if you're doing it through the school, but you know, once it went to the Supreme Court, it feels like, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the bottle. I don't really, I'm not going to say they don't get this thing tightened up and better regulated, but I don't see how you really go back anyway. This certainly will be interesting to see how it all unfolds in the next couple of years.
Yeah, no, you totally nailed it. I chuckle every time, you know, people at the NCAA, people in power whine about what's happened when, you nailed it. They could have been in front of regulations just like you have for everything else. Until their hand was forced, and then a tidal wave hit them because they were not prepared for it. So I don't really feel bad for people in power that you know, had a chance to take control and didn't.
Yeah, I really don't either, and it's weird. I know the coaches and players is different, but it's hard for me to hear Nick Saban like complaining, saying they paid for all their dudes and all this. And I'm not saying Jimbo Fisher's a saint either, but it's just funny to hear Nick Saban's getting paid $10 million a year. His house is paid for by boosters, and he's mad because players are making money. It's kind of laughable to me.
Yeah, it's a little funny. Alabama has no advantages in recruiting that they've been using for years and years and years, so... So, yeah, I'm playing my very, the world's smallest violin for Nick Saban right now, that's for sure.
Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And this is an interesting one for Rams fans. As we get closer to the NBA draft, it does seem like David Roddy's name is coming up a little bit more. I saw ESPN's last best available. Doesn't mean everything, but it is what it is. It has him at 31. So, obviously, if you just went by the numbers, you could say that's early second round, that maybe you could drift into late first round. How are we feeling about David today, Kevin? Where are you leaning as far as his, you know, coming back to CSU or going on to the NBA?
Yeah, to be honest, my thought, I've seen some people saying similar of, it seems like, his stock is really rising. I don't really think that's true. I don't think it's falling either. You're certainly seeing more attention, but I think that's just, the combine is literally happening right now. The draft just happened, so we now know, basically the order. So I think it's more just NBA draft talk is kicking up, but it seems like, I think when David declared, the general thought was maybe late first or early second. That still seems to be, I did a kind of a roundup of where some of the, top outlets have him, and it was, I think the highest was 28 and the lowest was maybe, 38. So it still seems like he's right in that range. And my feelings are still the same. I would lean slightly toward he's going to come back to CSU, but still pretty much in that close to toss-up range. And it looks like he's going to end up in that really gray area. If you're in that kind of 25 to 40 range, frankly, either decision would be very reasonable. You could see why, a guy would say, that's a pretty solid opportunity. I've got to take it. But you could also see why a guy would say, that's pretty solid, but I can maybe improve on that, so let me go back to school. So I think he's going to be right in that gray area where there's not, a 100% definitive answer for a guy. I think if everyone's saying he's, a 55th pick, then he'd come back. If everyone's saying he's a 15th pick, he'd be gone, but that's not what it's going to be. So it's going to be a tough decision. I'm sure, we all know David. He is a very thoughtful. He's not going to do this on a whim. I'm sure he's put plenty of time and thought into it, and there's going to be more. But it's definitely a tough one, and there are certainly factors that we can't really evaluate in it, as far as his priorities and everything. But it's a really fascinating area for him to be in.
Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining me. And that's what I think the key word, one of the key phrases you said was gray area. And to me, and again, David's going to obviously make the best choice for him. But when you say gray area, I think, man, if it's not a little bit better than gray area, I would be leaning on in your camp, Kevin, of thinking I think he's coming back at that point. If it were more like no, you're going in the first round, man. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Then maybe that changes. But like you said, gray area. I think that's the big thing there, and it does feel like he's right there in between. Maybe first round, maybe mid second round. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll see. Obviously, combine games are happening kind of as we speak, so. So how he plays there will have some effect. By I think you can move your stock some, but it seems like it feels to me like it would be ludicrous for 2 days worth of really good or really bad play to swing a guy 10 picks in NBA minds. You would think body of work would kind of play a role, but we've seen weird decisions made before. But yeah, it's just an interesting spot. Not going to lie, I think everyone is, doing the reading the tea leaves type of thing, looking at projections, looking at, what they can glean from David and everything. It's just hard to say. I truly think he enters this combine without having made a decision, just knowing him. It seems like he would wait until he has every bit of available information before he, finalizes the decision. He sure, he certainly is probably leaning one way or another, but I really think he's a guy that will wait until this is done and he gets feedback from teams before he truly cements that decision.
Certainly seems like just a calculated individual, a guy that's not going to rush into anything and take his time. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And the NCAA Division I Council announced yesterday that it will relax restrictions on college football's conference championship games, basically saying, hey, conferences, they can determine the teams that would participate in their respective title game, which ultimately means we're probably going to see less of the divisions in all of these conferences, and specifically the Mountain West and Mountain West Mountain could go back to just being one giant conference again, and we take the top two teams.
Yeah, I think that's pretty close to certain to happen. It won't happen this year, but Craig Thompson pretty strongly suggested that during this past season. This offseason's come up again. The idea is the last thing you would want is 11 from one division play, say the other division for whatever reason is weak that year. You get 11-1 versus 7-5 in the national or the conference championship, and you've been a really good bowl opportunity because you had a mediocre team in your conference style game just because they happen to be in a poor division. So I think it's going to get blown up by the Mountain West for the 23 season. I personally am in favor for that. The only caveat is you have to protect some matchups, the rivalry matchups. Like you have to make sure CSU and Wyoming play every year. But I'm sure they'll do that. I wouldn't be surprised if every team kind of gets two protected matchups or something like that. But yeah, I would expect the Mountain West to ditch those divisions pretty soon here.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I was kind of shocked to see the Pac-12 move on it so fast. They're moving on it as soon as this upcoming season.
Yeah, they moved, I think, 5 minutes after the Division I Council, passed that for that one and prepared to do that. And, not every conference is going to do that. And, there are different things that work for different leagues. But, for me, for the Mountain West, it makes sense. I'm sure there are people that think with it, but it's a plain.
I think we lost Kevin there. Anyway, we were just about to wrap up, but spotty service there, unfortunately. So we'll just take a break on that note. 12:48 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Appreciate Kevin jumping on, as he does every single Thursday, talking all things Colorado State. Haven't even got to the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who do you think is going to have a better rookie season? Arizona's Trey McBride or Denver's Greg Dulcich? The tight end duo, the battle. Who's going to be? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We got a CSU theme today. We'll be right back. It's The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Whole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Okay, I have no idea what the weather's going to do tomorrow. Cody Wilson will tell you that. Denver Front Range weather. He's got his podcast available at 1310kfk.com. You'll hear him on Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. I have no idea. Here's what you need to do. Call Lemons Heating and Cooling because you need to be ready. The heat's coming. We felt some of that this week. They're ready to go. Get that system up to date. Give them a call, 970-567-0798. That's 970-567-0798. And also, listen, if you're out there and you know your stuff when it comes to HVAC systems, heating and cooling systems, And you don't like where you are right now. If I got a hooligan out there listening, he's out working on something, she's out working on something, and you're thinking this isn't the right fit, the folks at Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of you, because I know that personally. Played flag football with Mr. Lemons. I know that doesn't mean everything, but when you're on a team with someone, you get to know them pretty well. So I put the stamp of approval on Lemons Heating and Cooling. 970-567-07. 98. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Rockies snap the streak at 12 to San Francisco. That was, I mean, we'll see what comes of it. But to erase that kind of a streak, not get to 13, lucky number 13, was fairly significant early on. Now they're sitting at 18 and 19. They stopped the bleeding. That's what it felt like, is they stopped the bleeding. Now they get the day off. Can they? I mean, they got the Mets coming to town. It feels like anytime the Mets come to town, it's like the weather is suddenly bad. So I doubt the game gets going tomorrow. That's set for 6:40. We're supposed to be in snow time at that point. I'm going to state track tomorrow. I'm not even going to be on the air tomorrow. I'm going down early. My niece is racing at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got to go get my dad in Lyman, so it'll be an early journey for me. But who knows what's going to happen? She'll probably be running in snow, I'm guessing. I don't know. But the Rockies are going up against the Mets. Yikes. Scary times. Marquez, Gomber, and Cool set to pitch in this series. But, hey, Rockies got it done. Bard comes in and handles it, closes it down. So that was, I think that was a good mental thing for him. CJ Crone, I mean, who's the best Rocky right now? Is it CJ Crone? It's got to be CJ, right? He's going to be an all-star. Might even be in the home run derby. I mean, this is a pretty big moment here, a big stretch. Don't get swept by the Mets and then handle your business against Pittsburgh, and you can actually round this thing back out. But that's the thing. It felt like the sky was falling 2 days ago. One win can at least make you go, okay, breathe. You got a day off. Don't completely fall on your face against the Mets, which could happen. But they did stop the streak. That's a big deal. Second hour coming up. Name, image, likeness. Nick Saban doesn't like it. We'll be right back. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.